claim?
Let's Talk is a public affairs presentation of 1220 WGNY. The opinions expressed on Let's Talk do not necessarily represent the views of the management or staff of WGNY or Sunrise Broadcasting.
Right now the time is 9:08. Vincent Lewis, I want to welcome you to our microphones this morning. You are the founder and president of All Roads Ministry. Then, what's it all about? What is All Roads Ministry?
Well, once again, thank you for having me on the show, which I appreciate. Secondly, allow me to once again repeat my invitation to you and to the Church of Rome and to everyone else listening.
In other words, if I'm not Catholic, I'm going to hell. Is that
yes.
it?
Yes. Ultimately, if you don't become a Catholic at some point in your life or before the last judgment, when the final determination is made, you will definitely go to hell. Only Catholics are in heaven. Only Catholics may achieve heaven. ARM is an organization which is most easily described as a correspondence school for Catholics who wish to spread, explain, and defend the faith. We produce tapes, books, tracts, and a publication which allow Catholics to understand their faith and understand how to defend it.
Is this the position of the Roman Catholic Church?
Yes, it is, and always has been.
The Roman Catholic Church today states that only Catholics are going to heaven?
Yes, the Roman Catholic Church has stated that since the beginning of its inception at Pentecost. However, because of, we'll put a quote around the word, political consideration, this is usually not spoken of much, and it's one of the reasons, in my opinion, why the Catholic Church in America and possibly worldwide no longer has the influence, authority, and, shall we say, honor that it used to have, because it cannot back off of any position, it simply does not proclaim it with the same emphasis that it used to. But there is no salvation outside the church. There's always been a teaching of the Catholic Church.
Then what do you base that on?
I base it on several things. One is the clear teachings of the church, specifically the Athanasian Creed, which is one of the great creedal statements, one of the three basic foundational creeds of the Roman Catholic Church, which specifically says if you do not hold complete and entire the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, you will go to hell. You'll perish eternally. I also point out that in the Gospel of St. John, I believe it's around chapter 10, Jesus says, I know my flock, they know me. They follow no one else. Well, quite simply, if I hear Jesus say that his mother was immaculately conceived, that she was a perpetual virgin, and her body was assumed into heaven, and you or anybody else hear him say something else, one of us is not in the flock.
Where does it say that in Scripture?
It's around John 10. But there's many other passages when Jesus in Luke sends out the 72 on a mission. He says, he who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. The Catholic Church and I individually make that claim. If you reject me, you're rejecting the words of Jesus, and if you reject Jesus, you go to hell, by definition. Unless, of course, you repent for it when there's still chances to repent.
How big of an organization is All Roads Ministry?
It's a hard question to define because it is a volunteer organization, and we have people who are associated with us who do work for voluntary purposes, but essentially I run it with the help of my assistant/girlfriend, and we do most of the administrative work, although we also have a guy in Oklahoma who does a lot of the tape duplicating for us.
How did you come to be convinced that the only Catholics are going to heaven? I mean, this is absolutely fascinating. How did you come to this conclusion?
It was always, I'm what's called a cradle Catholic, and I was raised and went to Catholic schools, and I was always taught this, but I was taught it in a heretical fashion, and literally over a long process, which might take too long to go into, a series of events led me to become more and more interested in my religion, and I simply used logic and a whole bunch of literally acts of God pointing me in certain directions, and I came to the logical conclusion. If truth matters, and it does, because Jesus died to bear witness to it, then you must possess it, affirm it, and teach it in order to be saved. Because if you affirm or believe lies and advance it as truth, you are a blasphemer. And the logic of it is completely unavoidable, that if you can be a blasphemer, remain that way, unrepentant, and still get into heaven, then everybody gets into heaven, because there's no way to get to hell. Plus, the other truths of Catholicism are so self-evident, answering the, shall we say, the questions or the difficulties of the human condition, that no one, upon examination of Catholicism, can reject it in good conscience.
We're talking to Vincent Lewis. He's the president and founder of All Roads Ministry. He's making a blanket statement. He's saying that only Catholics are going to heaven. What about the Baptists? What about the Pentecostals? What about the Episcopalians? What about the Methodists? And on and on and on. They're not going to go to heaven.
Of course, not as that in those denominations. If they ultimately change, become submissive to the Pope at Rome, accept the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church, then they will. It is Catholic teaching that if you are validly baptized, you are baptized into the Roman Catholic Church. So in a certain sense, these people could be considered Catholics. But if they do not hold the Catholic faith, they cannot get into heaven. All those people which you mentioned, all those different denominations, I mean, I didn't come to this conclusion simply, shall we say, on faith alone. It was an inductive process based on literally, years and years of research and hundreds of interviews with non-Catholics. And what I found is there is no honesty outside the Catholic Church. There is no integrity outside the Catholic Church. There is no consistency outside the Catholic Church. And all those people outside the Catholic Church who advocate their system are knowing frauds. They know what they're saying. They know what they're doing. And they're wrong.
Well, we have our first phone call.
I'm surprised.
For Vin Lewis.
Why would anybody want to talk to me?
Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I'm Episcopalian, and I'd like to think I'm going to heaven.
Vin says no. He's all, you know.
Did I hear him say he has a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
He's not married.
I am not married.
Then maybe he's going to hell, too?
What's that got to do? Listen, I may very well go to hell, of course. I'm not guaranteed salvation, but that's not what we're discussing today, unless you want to make it a discussion about me. I find my own self an interesting, marvelous subject, but we're talking about religious doctrine here. If you wish to disagree, disagree. If you wish to make a name comment, do that too.
You said you run a correspondence course.
Well, I said the easiest way to think of ARM is as a correspondence school for Catholics.
Oh, I thought you were saying you ran a correspondence school.
No, if I said that, I retracted, and if you misunderstood it, pay more attention.
No, that's the way I took it to understand.
Doesn't matter how you took it, you know the truth now. Okay. You have a comment or a question?
Well, my comment is, I think anyone that reads the Bible and does their best to accept and their best to live by what they genuinely get as the word, that...
All right, let me interrupt you. Can man achieve the truth of God if he seeks it?
Excuse me?
Can man achieve the truth of God if he seeks it? Will God give truth to man if he seeks it?
If...
Answer the question, please, yes or no. Answer the question, please, yes or no. Can man come to the knowledge of the truth of God?
Through Jesus.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, well, one of us is definitely wrong, then, and one of us is therefore not seeking God correctly, correct?
It would appear to me that you're not going to change Vin's mind.
I'm not a matter of changing my mind. I'm trying to expose the guy as being incorrect, Joe. If we want to have a little controversy, fine. If you want to go on to another call, that's fine.
Okay.
This guy's a standard, wimpy, evasive Episcopalian who won't answer questions. That's normal for them. They don't believe in anything.
Well, thank you, and God loves everyone.
Enter the Church of Rome, please.
Uh-huh. Well, we're off to the races. 561-1220 for... Vin Lewis, president and founder of All Roads Ministry. Well, let's put it all on the table. What else do you believe in? Only Catholics are going to heaven. Go ahead.
Well, everything follows from that.
You say that the Inquisition was correct and proper.
Yes, it was.
Now, when I talked to you on the phone about a month and a half ago, you said something about Columbus and the Indians.
I'm saying briefly that right now, because it's 1992, you're going to hear a lot of this stuff about Columbus being genocidal and all of this nonsense, and a lot of this stuff is nothing but disguised Catholic bigotry. In other words, it's a tax on the Church. The point I simply make is this. The logic is completely irrefutable and inescapable. If you have to be a Catholic to get to heaven, and if Columbus was instrumental in bringing some Indians into the Church, then what he did, no matter what else he did, was beneficial for the Indians, because salvation is the only thing that really matters.
Good morning, you're on Let's Talk.
Good morning. I would like to disagree with your guest.
Okay.
I was raised a Catholic. I am not now a practicing Catholic, but I was never taught that people that weren't Catholic would not go to heaven.
Excuse me, what does anything have to do with what you were taught? Do you know how to change this? Excuse me, do you know how to change this brakes, ma'am?
Why do you feel that...
Thank you for not answering my question. Do you know how to change disc brakes?
Do I know how to change what?
Disc brakes on a car.
No.
So therefore, simply the fact that you don't know something doesn't mean it doesn't exist or it's incorrect. I know how to change disc brakes. I also know Catholic theology. If you were to study Catholic theology, ma'am, if you were to read the teachings of Vatican... I'm not
taught.
Very good, ma'am. That's a totally solipsistic, subjective statement about what you were taught. What you were taught has nothing necessarily to do with what it is true, correct? You could have been taught incorrectly, agreed?
No.
No? It's impossible for you to have been taught incorrectly?
No. I have the same attitude you have.
In other words, then one of us is a complete and utter liar, correct?
No, I think you honestly...
Thank you for not answering the question. One of us is a liar and you're a non-practicing Catholic, which exposes you by definition as a person who doesn't go to the Church that she holds as correct. That disqualifies you for any credibility, honesty, and morality.
That doesn't mean I'm going to go to hell.
Of course you are. Unless you repent and get forgiven. Of course you will go to hell. You know that. I know that. Let's not...
No. You have just put yourself above everyone else and think you're God, but you aren't.
I'm not God. I'm not above everybody else by any means. I'm simply proclaiming the truth, which you also could proclaim. I would suggest you write me or get in touch with me, and I will absolutely prove to you...
I wouldn't waste my time.
Of course not. You're not interested in truth. Are we finished, Joe? I mean, are we finished with that call? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were gone.
You are unbelievable.
Thank you. Well, actually, I'm very believable.
You have so much gall.
I don't have gall at all. Thank you. I have love and charity for you, ma'am. Please come back into the church before you go to hell.
Well, 561-1220 is the number to call. You're very, very firm in your beliefs.
Am I too soft today, Joe, or what?
Well, you certainly seem to be able to handle yourself well on the air. What's your background? Did you grow up in the church? Were you an altar boy?
I was a cradle Catholic, and I was an altar boy. I grew up in what was called the golden age of the church before Vatican II, and I was raised in the old traditional Latin Mass, which I still prefer. And I was, to the outside world, a quite good practicing Catholic. I mean, I didn't miss Mass at all for like 20, 25 years, and then only on extremely exceptional circumstances that would be considered justified. But to my real heart and to Jesus, I was really not a good Catholic because I was never trying to evangelize. I used to just go my own way and let the Protestants and everybody else and the non-believers go their way. I never tried to evangelize, and that's the first obligation that all Christians have, is to win the world for Jesus, even if it's only one soul at a time.
But you seem to be winning the world, or trying to win the world for the Catholic Church. You're saying that the Catholic Church is the only vehicle for salvation.
Of course.
Well, I mean,
Joe, the logic follows this. If we're true and everybody else is false, then you must adhere to the truth to be saved, or truth has no value. It's that simple. Now, I also point out, an example for anybody who wants, as they say, scientific proof, that in 1917, in Portugal, in Fatima, the sun came down from the sky. It was seen by 70,000 people in the field. Now, if 70,000 people all see the same thing, we accept it as a fact. And the reason that occurred was because the Blessed Mother appeared to three children at Fatima at that time and predicted to them a great sign. When there is predictability and validity and a witnessing of an unnatural event, which must be supernatural in nature, confirming a religious system, we have proof positive on a scientific basis that the Catholic Church is correct.
We're talking to Vincent Lewis. He is the founder and president of All Roads Ministry. They believe that only Catholics will go to heaven. If you'd like to talk to them, to him, to me, 561-1220. It's 920. And we invite your calls. We're waiting for you to call. 561-1220. We'll be back in a minute.
To Public Affairs presentation of 1220 WGNY. The opinions expressed on Let's Talk do not necessarily represent the views of the management or staff of WGNY or Sunrise Broadcasting.
Why suffer?
Let's Talk. WGNY, Post Office Box 2307, Newburgh, New York 12550. That's Let's Talk. WGNY, Post Office Box 2307, Newburgh, New York 12550. Or call 561-2131. 561-2131.
It's 922. We're back with Vincent Lewis, the president and founder of All Roads Ministry. I think that's misnamed. I think it should be One Road Ministry. I mean, you're saying the only road to heaven and salvation is the Catholic Church. What's the difference between your organization and any other organization?
Well, let me comment on our name first. There's an old expression that all roads lead to Rome, and that's one of the reasons we picked it. It also is, of course, abbreviated ARM, A-R-M, so we're like the arm of the Lord, and we arm you to go out and fight. The difference between our organization and I think every other, and especially based on the calls we just had, Joe, is the letter T. Everybody else says I. I feel, I believe, I sense, I was taught. We say it. It is true that. In other words, we take it out of the field of subjectivism and put it into the objective reality, the truth. When we say it is true that, we're advancing something as a truth, not as an opinion. And as Jesus taught, you cannot teach human opinion as dogma. And outside of the Catholic Church, everything is taught as human opinion, as dogma, which of course is anti-Christian, but it is also completely against the normal functioning in human life. If you went to a doctor and you have your appendix removed and he told you that he had a pretty good idea of what it was, but he wasn't absolutely sure, but in his opinion, he'd make the best shot, you'd find another doctor. Now, if reality can be verified and acted upon and, shall we say, realized in matters of medical science, in which only our health is being improved and maintained, it follows logically that if God cares for us and the soul is worth more than the body, then there must be an absolutely verifiable, objective way for us to learn the truths which are necessary for our salvation. Once again, we claim that no one else does. Everybody else makes mincemeat of the logic and ultimately becomes a functional atheist by denying that God has a plan by which all men may be saved and come to the truth. We hold, and when I say we, I mean both our men, the Roman Catholic Church, and myself, of course, we hold that God has a plan by which all men may come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And this truth, of course, is not compromisable. It is simply a matter of accept or reject. And as with all truths, such as 2 plus 2 equals 4, you don't have a halfway position.
Whereas the Catholic Church in days of old taught the doctrine that only Catholics are going to heaven, I don't believe they teach that doctrine now. I mean, I stand corrected. If someone's out there that can correct me, the Roman Catholic Church does not teach that only Catholics are going to heaven.
It does teach it, Joe, and I'll sit here and correct you.
Well, you know, as far as I know, all Catholics that I know and clergy say that, you know, Catholics are not the only ones going to heaven.
I understand perfectly what you're saying.
Well, what's your position on Martin Luther?
What about him?
Well, what about him?
Well, he was a terrible, horrible man, probably the worst man who ever lived on the face of the earth.
John Wesley?
John Wesley was probably pretty close to that.
John Calvin?
John Calvin was probably second only to Martin Luther. And I'm putting these guys above Judas, by the way. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. They knew the truth clearly and rejected it. And they knew it more. And they also led more people into, if in so much as people can be led into error, they led more people into error. And again, Joe, what I'm saying is Catholic teaching. The fact that you don't hear it doesn't mean anything. I don't always get your radio station on my side of the river. That doesn't mean your radio station doesn't exist or isn't broadcasting.
But I'm sure that Catholics find exception to what you're saying.
Some so-called Catholics might, but...
Wait. What,
yeah.
You said so-called Catholics?
Of course.
They're not real Catholics.
No, of course not. Anybody can call themselves Catholics.
But why aren't they real Catholics? Because they disagree with your philosophy?
They disagree, not with my philosophy. They disagree with my statements, and my statements are in accord with the teachings of the church.
Supposing the Pope comes out and says that, you know, not only Catholics, and I believe he has, hasn't he?
There was a recent encyclical. My Latin isn't very good, so I can't...
Do we have any Catholic theologians out there that can help me out here?
Let me finish the question, Joe. The Catholic theology is the following. Once in, always in, never can be renounced, never can be removed, and once in has to be in from the beginning. The point is, the clear teachings of the church from the very beginning has always been that there is salvation only through the Roman Catholic Church, through submission to the Pope and through the sacramental system, period. No exceptions whatsoever.
These phones are strangely silent this morning.
Well, maybe it's because the people are in shock, or perhaps because people maybe honor a statement of fact and don't really have anything to disagree upon. Again, most of the times I've found, Joe, and I mean, I've been in this, quote, business, and it's not really a business at all, for about 6 years, is that when presented with this, the most anybody will say is, as the first two callers were, I don't like what you're saying. No one actually disagrees with what I'm saying because I speak to people's hearts and their hearts were prepared for the truth. Everybody knows that the truth is valuable. If the truth is valuable, you must adhere to it. And one of the ways to know what the truth is to look at an organization that says they have it and proclaims it and values it. Once again, if you use that standard of criteria or those criteria to judge an organization, you will find the only one that is satisfactory is the Roman Catholic Church.
And I say to you, where in Scripture does Jesus call attention to the Catholic Church?
Jesus does not mention it.
He calls attention to draw all men to himself.
Of course. And the Catholic Church, by definition, is an organization to which calls all men to it. Catholic meaning universal.
And what about the Muslims? And what about the Jews?
What about them?
What about them? They're not going to heaven either?
No. And again, a Jew is a racial term. It's not a religious term. If you're talking about the rabbinic system that Jews follow now, of course that cannot save them. Neither, of course, can it save a Muslim. But there are Jews who are Catholics, of course, because Jew is simply a matter of being a direct descendant of Abraham and Sarah.
561-1220 to talk to Vincent Lewis, the president and founder of All Roads Ministry. Now, what does your ministry do?
Essentially, what we try to do is to educate and, again, arm people. We try to use the acronym as much as possible to keep it in front of people's minds. We produce audio tapes, books, monthly publication, tracks, essays, etc. What we do is mail these things or sell them, or should say, technically, we offer them for contributions, and we suggest what the contribution is. We're a nonprofit. To people so that they can learn. Primarily what we try to do, which I'd say is different between us and any other Catholic educational organization, is we try to base almost everything on Scripture as opposed to simply church's teachings. We try to show that the Catholic Church is coherent with the Bible and that the Bible is a book produced by the Catholic Church and supports Catholicism.
May I quote from this catalog?
Of course, absolutely.
Okay, we're taking one tape, for example.
Yes.
Tape L1,
okay.
Titled Protestant View of Scripture.
Yes.
Protestants, and in parentheses, particularly fundies,
that means fundamentalists.
Fundamentalists,
it's a cutesy term,
claim to reverence the Bible and base their systems on it. Actually, this is the opposite of what they really do. This tape shows how the problems of translation, transcription, the original manuscripts, etc., destroy their claims.
Yes.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, quite frankly, you can't say, you can't hold up a book that has the word Bible on it and say this is the actual correct translation of the words that originally were written by, say, St. Luke, unless you have an infallible source to verify the translation, transcriptions, and contents. In other words, you must have an infallible authority to say, yes, St. Luke's gospel is so many chapters and no more. Now, if you have such an infallible source, you then must become a Catholic. If you remain a fundamentalist who denies infallibility to all men, you have become self-contradictory and no longer are worthy of serious consideration as either an honest person or an intelligent one. And that is a problem which all fundamentalists have, is the nature of the book itself destroys their basic beliefs. You cannot hold an infallible book unless you hold an infallible authority to canonize the book.
561-1220, if you'd like to talk to Vincent Lewis. He's the president and founder of All Roads Ministry. He believes that only Catholics are going to heaven. We shall return in just a moment.
For a dining experience you'll never forget, it's always Tansy's Caboo. Tansy's Caboo is located just off Route 300 between Newburg and Walk Hill, with a warm, cozy atmosphere overlooking the runway at Cobalt Airport. Chef Peter Tansy features an exclusive Italian and continental menu, including pasta, seafood, veal, chicken, and steak. Start your meal with an appetizer like the coconut shrimp with macadamia nuts or Maryland crab cake. For dinner, the seafood franchise is delightful. Or how about steak au poivre, fried calamari, prime rib, or homemade tortellini? All desserts are deliciously prepared on the premises, featuring a different chocolate dessert daily. Or try Tansy's famous Linzer raspberry tort. Tansy's Caboo is open for dinner Wednesday through Sunday.
First presentation of 1220 WGNY. The opinions expressed on Let's Talk do not necessarily represent the views of the management or staff of WGNY or Sunrise Broadcasting.
If you think the discounts were great before...
The basic Protestant position is that nobody's right, nothing really matters, everybody can pick and choose what they believe. So when a Catholic comes along and says this, how are they now going to disagree?
Well, we've got a phone call. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. This Mr. Vincent Lewis is really a breath of fresh air. I don't know.
Wait a minute. I don't want anybody to agree with me today.
Oh, no?
I'm only joking. Go ahead. God bless you, lady.
Okay. Now, what, I have a question, though, about you.
Yeah.
Why I'm saying this is because I, you know, nobody seems to agree the way you do, and that's how I agree.
You're the one.
I have to travel an hour every Monday morning to learn about my Catholic heritage, which we are being deprived of. Since 1976, I have been doing it.
Ma'am, how are you being deprived of your Catholic heritage?
Well, I went to church, local churches. They teach us nothing. My children would be shifted back and forth to learn the faith. And
allow me to comment, if I may. This is exactly one of the reasons we formed on. This is exactly what you said before, Joe. You haven't heard this. This woman knows the truth. She knows what Catholicism is, and she knows that, in general, many of the priests today take the softer approach, and they don't teach the hard truths of the faith, and many of the younger people and the older people and the middle-aged people are no longer being presented with the truths of Catholicism. Exactly correct. This is one of the reasons I formed the organization. And, ma'am, I would just say to you that I am listed in the phone book under Hopewell Junction in Dutchess County. I suggest you give me a call, and we'll send you a catalog if you wish.
Now, what I don't understand,
yeah,
though, what puzzles me is this. You seem to say more than the local churches.
Of course I do.
Now,
what's puzzling?
I'm saying this because I am struggling, and no matter how much you ask your parish priest or nuns or bishops or whoever, they think you're out of your mind.
No, they don't. They know you're not out of your mind.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Of course I know exactly what you're talking about.
They just don't want to agree with you.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And if everybody does it, it doesn't make it right.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question? Do you think that only Catholics are going to heaven?
Definitely. The Catholic Church is the only road to heaven. I have a lot of compassion for my Jewish friends, my Protestant friends, but at the same time, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came on this earth and told us the way to get there. And Jesus was a Jewish himself.
What do you think of Vatican II? What do you both think of Vatican II? Changing the Mass from Latin to English?
I'll let the lady go first.
Yes. The Vatican II, it is there. It's part of church history. And the reason it happened at the wrong time, not at the best time of history, everything was going great. We had the most converts in the church. And why do we need this Vatican II? What do we have today as a result of Vatican II? Closed down churches, closed down seminaries. Nuns, they don't have any sense of direction anymore. I feel sorry for them because a lot of them gave their whole life. And a lot of priests did. It's just that they gave them their liberty, which when you become a religious, You give up your liberty. You give up the world because there is a call for you, a special call. And to me, I think there was no need for this Vatican II.
Well, allow me to comment.
Very well. And now, the way things are, I've seen people that they go to church, they come out of it, they say, well, I went in hungry, and I'm coming out starving. I don't go to church anymore. And because of this, my kids were growing up, and I said, I refuse to do this. So I end up going to a traditional Latin mass, which is an hour away from here, and this is the only way out. And my children know the faith right now, and they know what the difference is. It's tough, let me tell you. It's not an easy life. But we're hanging in there with the help of God and His blessed mother.
Now, allow me to comment briefly on Vatican II. Vatican II gets a lot of bad press. It was not, according to Paul VI, in an audience in which he gave after it. It was not a dogmatic council. The few dogmatic statements that I've read from Vatican II definitely confirm Catholic doctrine, including no salvation outside the Church and the infallibility of the Pope. But many things happened after Vatican II because of the sloppy language in Vatican II and led to abuses.
Ma'am, we're going to have to move along. We have some other calls coming in. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Bye now. 561-1220 is the number to call if you'd like to talk to Ben Lewis. And as I understand, my screeners say that there's another call coming in, so until it comes in, we'll talk a little bit.
Let me make one comment on the last call.
Go ahead.
The amount of people coming into the church means nothing if they don't get into heaven. You could have everybody in the world convert to Catholicism, and if they went to hell, it wouldn't do them any good. Salvation's the important thing, not conversion.
Good morning, you're on Let's Talk.
Hi, Joe. I'd just like to address my comments and my questions to you, only because I feel that the way that your guest argues is more abusive. He really comes off as the G. Gordon Liddy of the Catholic Church.
I was called the Morton Downey Jr. once by a fundamentalist convention recently.
Well, I didn't want to lower you that far.
That's all right.
But I think that everything that you are saying is true, in that the Catholic Church does believe exactly what you say. But unfortunately, every fundamentalist sect of Christianity also believes that they have the absolute proof that they're the only ones going to heaven.
You're utterly wrong, completely and utterly wrong. I've dealt with over 625 Protestants, at least half of those in fundamentalist sects. Not one, I repeat this, not one will say what you just said.
But
you're basing it on misperceptions, absolute, complete, utter misperceptions, and I make you a challenge right now. I will give you $100, repeat, $100, and I'll make it a binding thing. If you can show me one fundamentalist group that teaches what you just said, there is not one. I repeat, not one. I'm the expert in the field. I spent 6 years doing the research. I've debated over 150 Protestants. I've interviewed over 625. I've read all their eternal documents. I've read all their magazines. Not one says what you said. You're completely and utterly wrong.
Well, I would hate to hear you debate or interview anybody because all you do is just snow people over with verbiage.
No, it's not true at all. It's facts. Maybe you haven't recognized it.
Okay, hold on a second, but truth is subjective.
No, it's not at all.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, but you have
Do you have that view when you go to the bank and cash your check that
well,
if they shortchange you, you say that's just your opinion?
Reasoning.
Excuse me, you didn't answer my question. It's a basic issue. If truth is subjective, then the bank teller can give you any amount of money for your paycheck and you won't object, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so in other words, if you cashed a check that said $100 and they gave you a $20 bill, you'd walk away saying, well, gee whiz, I think it's more, but that's so subjective. You would not call the manager.
No, because...
Excuse me, you would not call the manager, agreed?
There's no way that...
Didn't answer my question. You would not call the manager or the police department.
I cannot believe that you would allow...
Not answering my question. Is truth subjective, sir?
It all depends.
It all depends. Do you get five $20 bills when you cash a check for $100 or not? When you cash a check at the bank,
yes,
is that...
Do, but this,
then it is objective when it comes to money, but not when it comes to God, right?
I'll tell you, you must be really bringing people into the Catholic Church in droves.
I'm not interested in bringing people into the Catholic Church.
You're
I'm interested in saving my own soul.
Hold on, may I ask a question?
Of course.
Okay, but your whole thing was that was your whole interest, is to bring people into the Catholic Church.
I don't remember saying that.
The host into the Church of Rome, and you said that one of the main failings of the Church today is that they don't stress evangelism.
I guess you misunderstood. Listen very carefully.
But everybody that disagrees with you misunderstood.
Of course, no. Some are completely dishonest and disloyal and simply not very intelligent. Listen to me.
I think everyone else does.
No, listen to me. I never said my goal was to bring people into Catholic Church. I can convert no one. A gift of faith comes from God. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father calls him. It is always a gift of faith. It is always an act of will in a person's heart to convert. I couldn't convert anyone at the point of a gun by giving them $1 million or showing them the truth of Catholicism. Catholicism. However, my obligation is to bear witness to the truth and to make the things as clear as possible to attempt to remove the stumbling block so the person can then receive the gift.
Okay.
Whether I am successful or not, I don't know. I'll tell you at the last judgment, come over and talk to me when we're all being judged. And if I get into heaven, I was successful. If I don't, I wasn't.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
Out of your mindset, you're going to have a heart attack any day now.
Nah,
are you open to persuasion then? Can somebody persuade you
Absolutely.
That maybe your ideas are wrong?
Of course.
Could they persuade you?
Absolutely. I have, again, when I debate, and I debate very frequently, I make the following statement. And I make the challenge right here now for any of the people who are listening that are Protestants who think their ministers are willing to debate me in public or privately, as long as we can record it. If they show me one thing wrong with Catholicism, just one, I'll convert.
Well, maybe they don't want to tell you what's wrong with Catholicism, but what they might want to say is that, hey, we're going to heaven too.
And that's one thing wrong with Catholicism.
You know what?
No, Joe, that's one thing wrong with Catholicism, because Catholicism teaches they're not going to heaven too. If they can show me that that's wrong, I'll get out.
And I say to you, that is not the official position of the Church.
But of course it is, Joe. Again, I have a book here called The Apostolic Digest. And
do we have any Catholic theologians out there?
You got one sitting right here.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Position of the Church. And that is something that is glossed over in the ecumenical movement in order to get more people into the Church and more people to participate, mainly Protestants.
We agree, caller.
And I just hope that
you're saying that is the Church's position covertly?
Oh, that's what, not covertly.
No, okay.
That it's just not something that's stressed in order that they would be able to mingle with the Protestants.
Absolutely correct.
But the Catholic Church does believe that only Catholics are going to heaven?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was raised a Catholic. I was born a Catholic. I went to Catholic school. But that wasn't something that was taught. That was something that I found out later. But I just think that anyone is open to be wrong. And I just hope that your guest, G. Gordon Liddy of the Catholic Church there, isn't going to be mad when he looks around and sees the people that are in heaven, because nobody can tell you who's going to be there and who's not. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for calling 561-1220 for Vincent Lewis, the president and founder of All Roads Ministry. His position, if you're not a Catholic, when you die, you're going to be all dressed up and no place to go. I mean, where's everybody going to go that's not Catholic? They're going to hell, right?
Ultimately. After the second judgment, there'll only be, the second coming, excuse me, the general judgment, there'll ultimately be only heaven or hell.
Big sign in heaven, Catholics only.
Right.
All others need not apply.
You could put it that way if you want to.
It's 943, the phone number, 561-1220 for Vincent Lewis. We'll be back in a moment.
The underwater look. All our incoming faxes had the underwater.
Ask your guest, did he know that Peter had a mother-in-law, and how did he get to have a mother-in-law?
He got a mother-in-law because he was married, and she came with a package deal.
Exactly. And
are you trying to say that the priest should be married and it's wrong for the Church to forbid it?
Well, it doesn't.
Yes or no?
I beg your pardon.
Yes or no? Is that what you're driving at?
I beg your pardon.
That's all right. I give it to you. I forgive you. I'm a Christian.
Yes or no, we are not on trial.
No, we're not on trial, but this is a radio station. There's other people calling in. Make your point.
And will you please give me a moment?
All right. Give her a letter say what she has to
say. Wake me up when she gets to her point, Joe.
It does say if one is inflamed with passion, it is better to marry.
Okay, fine. What are you saying? Priests should be married?
I'm saying,
are you asking me about clerical celibacy? What are you asking me? Okay, fine. We've got the statement from the Bible. I agree with it utterly.
When you had said just a short while ago that Jesus was the Son of God, in the Our Father prayer, what is that prayer?
Joe, I'm afraid I don't understand.
What are you saying? The Our Father prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the words of the Our Father prayer?
Shall I pray it? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, what do you want? I don't understand you at all. I'll try to tie.
Now,
go ahead.
Is that the way you say that prayer?
No, I ended where it's supposed to be ended. I don't go on with the Protestant.
You ended amen and said, for thine is the kingdom.
It's not into temptation, amen.
What's the difference?
The difference is that there's a curse on people who add to the Bible, as in the book of Revelations. Cursed be he who adds to this book, cursed or takes away from it. The Protestants have added to it, so obviously by definition they're all going to hell.
Well, whatever it is, what actually was Jesus praying for?
Our daily bread, and that we be forgiven in the same way we forgive others.
The very first line.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Uh-huh.
Thy kingdom come.
What is his father's name?
Well, there's a Jewish word for it, and Aramaic, and I prefer not to use it. I sort of follow the old custom of not using God's name in vain.
You mean you can say anybody else's name, but you can't say...
I didn't say that at all. I said I prefer to follow a Jewish custom, not using it in vain. Would be using it in vain to discuss it with you.
Well, many Bibles, I shouldn't say many. There are some Bibles that refer to the name of Yahweh.
Joe, perhaps we can get to the point here or another call.
What point are you trying to make, ma'am?
Well, with this person running in a circle, you know, as he's been doing, he wants to overwhelm people with words. But when you speak about the Bible, which he says he's basing his topic on or whatever, he wants to ignore it. What is that kingdom we pray for?
The kingdom of God is an expression which is used in several different ways. One, it refers to heaven. Another, it refers to the millennial rule of earth after Jesus comes back. And the third is the kingdom inside of you in your hearts in which you're conforming your life with Jesus and living with him as your Lord and Savior. It has several different meanings.
Let me just say to you, I feel very sorry for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. 561-1220. You know, when we were off the air, I mean, the program keeps going on and you keep making these statements. Now, you said something about the fraud of Protestantism in general?
I thought we were talking about anorexia off the air, Joe. Just a bad joke. Yes, the point I was trying to make is that all fundamentalists are fraudulent, and you can prove this by any fact whatsoever that is totally irrefutable by examining the presidential aspirations of Pat Robertson. When Pat Robertson ran for president, there was this rumor that all the fundamentalists would come out of the woods and vote for him, and they had this hidden army. But he got like 1/10 of 1/7 of 1/15 of 1% of the Iowa caucus in the Republican primary. Why? If there are approximately 50 million born-again Christians in this country, and by definition a born-again has to be an adult and therefore probably of voting age, these people would vote for Pat Robertson, another born-again Christian fundamentalist, if they believed he was sincere, honest, and good. The mere fact that they didn't turn out for him said the following thing. Pat talks exactly the way I talk. Pat says he believes exactly what I believe. I know I'm a conscious fraud. I know I don't believe this. I'm not going to elect a conscious fraud president of the United States. In contrast, I was at an anti-abortion rosary rally in Connecticut, and a guy gave me a brochure or something for Pat Buchanan, assuming automatically that I was a Catholic, I would vote for a Catholic. And all Catholics automatically would vote for Catholics in public office if they were real Catholics. Why? Because we know what we believe we're sincere in, they know what they believe they're not sincere in, and that proves it. The fact, and I put this in my book, The Perversion of Protestantism, as an appendix, to show the ultimate fraud of, in which I develop it a little more, the ultimate fraud of Protestantism is that they won't vote for their own kind, because they know if somebody speaks the way I do, he's wrong. Go ahead.
Aren't there different ways to the Father, then?
No.
No? No, only the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. There's no different ways on how many $20 bills you get when you cash a check for $100. There's no different ways on solutions of when Christopher Columbus sailed across the ocean. There's no different ways on who's the president of the United States. It's George Bush. Like it or not, that's a fact. If facts in history and facts in mathematics and facts in money and finance and geography can be known, and you must accept them. After all, if the teacher taught in school that Canada was south of America, the United States, and Mexico was north, you would have the teacher fired if you could, or you would at least tell your children don't believe that. But now what we're saying is, okay, go and believe anything you want when it comes to God. When it comes to geography, you must believe Canada is north. But when it comes to God, you can believe anything. This is complete and utter nonsense, because what it does is make the value of truth of God much less than the value of geography. If we can know those things, then we can know the truth of God. If we can know the truth of God, we must adhere to it, or it has no value. If it does have value, you must adhere to it completely, and that is the only way to get to heaven.
At 17 years old, was Vincent Lewis this adamant as he is today?
Absolutely not. I was a very lukewarm, or should I get the proper way to put it, lukewold Catholic.
What happened?
A whole lot of things. Again, to put it as briefly as possible, I got fired from my job for religious reasons. I was forced into a situation where I had to rely on God. I went through several, shall we say, spiritual experiences. I went through a whole lot of things which were God literally purifying me. Another few personal things which I don't wish to go into have essentially made me what I am today. God said, hey, listen, you're going the wrong way. I'm going to knock you down just the same way I did. The guy who used to be Saul of Tarsus and became St. Paul. You're going the wrong way. Shut up, listen to me, and do what I say. Now, that does not mean to say that I'm not a sinner and I may still yet go to hell. But at least I'm doing the right things with what I say. I still sin very badly, unfortunately.
561-1220 is the number to call for Vincent Lewis, the founder and president of All Roads Ministry. Have you converted anyone?
Again, one cannot convert anyone. All one can do is present the truth. There have people who have been nice enough to consider me instrumental in coming into the church, but I disclaim any responsibility for that.
All I can say is I present things. Again, people write me and tell me they've listened to my tapes, they've read my stuff, they've been able to bring people back into the church who've fallen away, or they have been able to bring people into the church who are never in it. But they can't bring them. Only God can do that.
Let's take a hypothetical situation, okay? There was a hypothetical situation. There was a Methodist minister in Equatorial Africa who serves God, his fellow man. When he dies, he's not going to make it, right?
Of course. No Methodist minister is serving God, and he knows it. The Methodist Church takes both sides of the position on the abortion question, which means by definition it is against truth. Jesus makes it extremely clear, and St. Paul confirms it, that there's no such thing as remarriage after divorce. The Methodist Church encourages it. Therefore, they are going against the very words that they advance. Forget about whether the gospel is true or not. Forget about whether Jesus was the Son of God. Forget about whether St. Paul was inspired. He who says he takes the Bible seriously and then contradicts its most solemn passages is a fraud. Now, it doesn't matter any further. Frauds go to hell.
Haven't you been accused of setting yourself up in the place of God and judging people?
Yes, in a sense. I'm not judging people. I do judge liars, which are very easy to do. I judge acts. I'm talking the hypothetical. Now, when a person talks to me and shows us that he's a liar, then I denounce him as a liar, which is a very easy thing to do, because that's the thing about lying. You can always judge a liar because the words contradict themselves. But I do not judge other people. I judge acts and will always judge acts. And, of course, I'll judge the hypothetical situation. And that's not the matter. We have to judge, because if we don't know the standards for salvation and damnation, we cannot preach the gospel, because the gospel message is you may be saved if you do X, Y, and Z. You will be damned if you do A, B, and C. If we cannot present that, which means presenting standards of judgments, we do not have Christianity. We do not have truth, and we're betraying the gospel of what?
You said earlier that you could be persuaded to change your opinions if some solid facts were presented to you.
Absolutely.
Really?
Of course. I used to believe, again, Joe, I was one of these guys who grew up thinking that there was no salvation outside the church, but it didn't mean anything. I was persuaded to this because a fellow wrote me a letter up from the St. Benedict Center up in, I guess it's New Hampshire, I keep forgetting, the right on the borderline. And he showed me where I was defective on something, and I immediately 100% flipped right then and there, totally and completely, and realized that what I had been doing was holding a vague heretical belief. I change my beliefs instantly as soon as I'm shown I'm wrong.
Do you realize that you do not hold popular positions, the great majority of the people may be listening today?
For which I thank God. Remember, Jesus was the victim of a lynch mob. A combination of the mob, the church of the day, and the state of the day got together and killed him. They tried to kill him for a long time, were successful, obviously, at the crucifixion. If people don't like you, if they don't find what you're saying unpopular, and if they aren't willing to lynch you, at least verbally, you're not a Christian and you're not presenting the gospel correctly.
But Jesus exuded love to everyone, to the Samaritan, to the woman taken in adultery.
To the woman taken in adultery, he denounced the crowd and insulted all of them. So if the crowd were, say, 50 people, he insulted 50 to be charitable to one. I am endlessly charitable. I am not at all kind.
Good morning, y'all. Let's talk.
Good morning. I apologize if this question has been asked before. I tuned the program and fairly recently. Mr. Lewis is interesting. May I ask him what he thinks of the traditional movement in the Catholic Church? Is he a traditionalist, so to speak?
I'm a traditionalist, so to speak, in the sense that I prefer the Latin Mass by far. I prefer that. I think it's far more reverent, far more theologically appropriate. I am not a Lefeverite, if that's what you mean. I'm still what I consider a loyal Catholic to the See of Rome, but I wish we would all go back to the Latin Mass and the Latin rites and all the sacraments. Absolutely.
Well, but couldn't you agree that with the destruction of the Latin Mass, so to speak, it's not the Mass that matters, but the faith that matters?
No, the Mass matters infinitely. It's a sacrifice at the cross repeated daily for the reparation of our sins, and without it, I don't think we could get through
today. But the Mass matters as the center of the faith.
Yes, it is.
So scriptures and tradition and so on and so forth.
They are also important, but the Mass is central.
Yes, the Mass is central, but without the faith, the Mass in itself is meaningless.
No, the Mass is never meaningless.
Yes, but for instance, Episcopalians or Greek Orthodox or Old World Catholics celebrate the Tridentine Mass.
No, Episcopalians don't celebrate any Mass. They don't have any priests. Greek Orthodox, certainly.
They would differ with you. I'd beg to differ with you on that.
No, they wouldn't. Episcopalians differ on nothing. They're completely wimps. They believe nothing. Their styles of theology change depending on who's in charge and who's got the most money. Episcopalians determine on a congregational basis what they believe.
I apologize. I shouldn't have used Protestants as whatever.
As anything.
You have to take Old World Catholics, who certainly have some validly ordained...
Very possibly.
Yes. Well, but they don't have the faith.
No, they don't.
So it's not the mass alone that matters.
No, I'm sorry. I guess I misunderstood you. You're absolutely correct. The mass combined with the faith is what is important. I agree with you totally.
Okay, but you don't consider yourself a traditionalist, so to speak, not in the sense of a Lefebvre.
I am a traditionalist in the sense that you mean it. Yes, definitely.
But the attached to the See of Rome rather than, even though...
I am a traditionalist as you mean it, definitely.
But attached to the See of Rome, even though John Paul II really has not been a defender of the faith, so to speak.
I agree with you.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling. We've got a couple of minutes left. If someone wants to make a call, we've got maybe 30 seconds.
Let me put a plug in, Joe. Once again, I'm listed in the phone book. I'm the Dutchess County, my organization. You can call us or leave a message on my answering machine. Again, last name Lewis, common spelling, first name Vincent. We publish a bunch of books, a monthly publication. We put out a catalog with over 130 titles on audio tapes, tracks, etc. If you're interested, fine. Also, if you're interested in setting up a debate, I'm quite willing to debate anybody publicly anywhere. And if I lose, I'll convert.
Any final comments?
Again, the only thing I would like to repeat is what I said in the beginning. I make this as a charitable remark. I do invite you and everybody else listening into the Church of Rome. Examine it, because as one of the popes said, upon first examination of the claims of Catholicism, the will compels assent. You will recognize the truth when you see it. Seek it, and you'll find it, as Jesus said.
Vincent Lewis, the president and founder of All Roads Ministry. I want to thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Tomorrow, our guest on Let's Talk, grassroots volunteer, people for Perot.
That's tomorrow on WGNY's Let's Talk.
As you are aware, this tape, up until this point, was a live aired radio program, which was scheduled for approximately one hour airtime. As it was an AM station, there is time taken out for commercials, news, etc., which means that the actual time of discussion is less than 1 hour. Therefore, this tape itself, cassette, which is 1 hour, is of course short. That means there's space. And of course, that's what I'm doing right now, is trying to fill this space so you do not have a tape with simply dead air. Allow me to first point out that additional copies of this tape or any contact with us may be achieved by writing us at ARM 55 Halen, that's P as in Paul, A-L-E-N, Road, number 38, Hopewell Junction, New York. For the rest of this tape, allow me to give some random remarks on the Blessed Mother. I do this simply to give you some suggestive approaches on both understanding more of her role and as a prefigurement in her life in the church. Again, when you evangelize or try to explain or defend the Catholic faith to others, frequently a sore point is the Blessed Mother. This is because most Protestants, although they claim to, quote, honor, unquote, her, do attribute to her the sinful, fallen nature which the rest of us human beings share in. This, of course, is false. But if we Catholics understand that perhaps this is a way to understand the nature of the church, that is the Catholic view of the church, versus the non-Catholic view of the church, some of her teachings have a little more significance, and perhaps they could be used for apologetic purposes as reinforcement. I'll try to elaborate on this briefly. One of the phrases that the Protestants use to describe the nature of their understanding of the church is, always reforming, never reformed. By this they mean that the church, and again, their use of the word church is quite different from ours, our understanding of the word church. I suggest that you obtain the various ARM tapes which deal with both the Catholic view of the church and the Protestant view of the church. But that is an aside. The point I'm simply trying to establish here is that the Protestant view of the church, that is the organization or collection of true believers, people who are Christians, is that the church is always wrong in the sense that it always fails, in the sense that it never quite achieves what it's supposed to be achieving, but it is always striving to achieve this status. To put it slightly another way, the Protestant will say that when Jesus comes back, he will find his people still trying to become what they should become and still falling very, very short. The concept of failure in this case, at least from my point of view, is purely as a result of sin. The only thing that prevents a human being from fulfilling God's plan, from becoming what God wants him to be, is sin. If one holds, as one must, due to the nature of God, that God gives us whatever grace necessary for us to cooperate fully with his plan, then when we fail, it is because we reject this grace of God. In other words, sin is never excusable. Sin is always avoidable. Therefore, since the church consists of a group of people who have the possibility and the potentiality for remaining sinless, the church itself should not be failing. The Protestant holds that since men must sin, that God's grace is not enough, that the transformation by the sacraments and the acceptance of Jesus does not change man so that he can avoid sin. The logical consequence, of course, of this is that the Protestant holds that this church, being a collection of people, must always sin, because all men will always sin. Let us now look briefly at the Blessed Mother as a type for the church, or a figure for the church. By this I mean a symbolic representation of one thing in the life, behavior, nature, or substance of another. Frequently, when people are considered rather significant in the formation of a foreign country, American journalists or historians will describe him as the George Washington of Libya, or Croatia, or Siberia. In other words, what they mean is this person's role is equivalent to the role of George Washington in the formation of the United States. This is the example of a type, a symbolic representation, or the use of a metaphor. This does not mean to say that because symbolic actions take place, that there is a lack of reality on either end. Certainly George Washington was the George Washington of the United States. The Blessed Mother, in her concepts of perpetual virginity and personal sinlessness due to the Immaculate Conception, is, again, I feel, a concept of type for the church. What this means is that those things which normally corrupt everyone, such as sin, such as contact with other people, and such as, in a sense, the defilement of sexual intercourse and childbirth, she experienced without the sin, without the corruption. To put it in a certain sense, one might say that the Blessed Mother was always being corrupted, but she never became corrupted, because she was incorruptible. In other words, although she was subjected to the same life that we have, she did not sin. Although she became a mother, she remained a virgin. Although she gave birth, she did not go through sexual intercourse. In other words, what is normal for everybody else, because of the fall, a human being can rise above with the grace of God. Now, I emphasize the word here, human being, because, of course, the Blessed Mother remains nothing more than a human being. Jesus, of course, being both God and man, is more than a human being, having two natures combined in one person. But the Blessed Mother, as I stated, is only a human being. Being only a human being, one would not say that she was different from us. She was, in a very real sense of the word, normal. That is the way we should have been if the fall had not taken place. Therefore, she is a type for what can be when one says to God, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." One can remain in the world, one can function in the world, one can do the normal things as a result, but not have the normal means for those ends. One can be a wife and yet a virgin. One can be a mother and yet a virgin. One can be the mother of all by being the mother of only one. This expression, if we could put it that way, of God working through human nature to restore man back to the situation which existed in the Garden of Eden, I believe can be understood in terms of the nature, the type, and the metaphor of Our Lady. Our understanding of Our Lady should be, metaphorically, our understanding of the Church. Although the Church exists among men, and although individual members of the Church certainly fail significantly, the Church itself, which is described biblically as the bride of Christ, cannot fail, cannot become corrupted, because it is incorruptible. Even though the pressures and activities of daily life, the pressures and activities of politics, the pressures and activity of the world work against it constantly, it cannot be corrupted. It is, to use an expression which was used in the Middle Ages, an anvil which has broken many hammers. I use these expressions and I bring this to your attention simply because I believe that when you are trying to explain the Catholic view of the Church or the Catholic view of the Blessed Mother, it is interesting, perhaps profitable, and I would believe useful and effective in apologetic and evangelistic way to try to explain the two as reflective of one another. And to me, the basic argument comes down to this. If with God all things are possible, if with God good is his very nature, and if the opposite, that is being free from sin, is good, then the Blessed Mother would be free from sin simply because she cooperated with the grace of God, which can keep anyone sinless who cooperates with it, and because, of course, she is removed from the stain of original sin. By the same token, the Church, which is the bride of Christ, can be kept corrupt, incorrupted and uncorruptible by the grace of God, in the same sense that a proper husband will protect his wife both before and after marriage. I hope that these few comments have given you some food for thought, so to speak. Hope they've given you a little further insight into at least a different way of looking at these two Catholic aspects, and perhaps a little ammunition for evangelization efforts, conversion efforts, and apologetic efforts. We hope that it's been of some use to you. Thank you for listening. God bless. Feel free to contact me.